chapter in the second verse. The Song of Solomon is one of my favorite books of the Bible. I believe it's a book of the Bible that needs to be read through multiple times a year. Especially if you're a man, you need to be reading through Songs of Solomon and Proverbs multiple times a year. It says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew and my locks with drops of the night. The person that's heart is waking, this is their response. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door, and my heart was moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers were sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handle of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved hath withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me and smote me and wounded me, and the keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. And I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love. Lord Jesus, I ask you to speak to us today, O God, that your spirit would move and flow in this place. Lord, that you would anoint my lips of clay, God, that your spirit would move and flow in this house. Lord, that you would challenge us today as individuals, O God, that you would challenge us as a church. Lord, that something inside of us would rise up, O God, that your anointing would move in this place. Lord, that we would go to another level, O God, that your will and your way would be done in this house. In your name we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. There's something awesome about the presence of God. There's something awesome how that when we don't deserve his mercy and we come into a place like this and all of a sudden we can feel his mercy. There's something powerful about it. Doesn't matter the mistake that we might have made this past week, that when we come into the presence of an almighty, awesome God, it has nothing to do with our performance. It has everything to do with his love for us. That we can walk into this house and we can feel his mercy and we can feel his goodness. That we know that we're not deserving of it, but we can put our hands in the air and tears run down our face. We can know that we haven't done anything to justify what's happened in this place today, but because of his love and his mercy and his goodness and his grace, we feel the presence of an almighty, awesome God. Awesome to know that we can come to an altar and it doesn't matter what sin that is in our lives, that in a moment of honesty that we can ask God to forgive us of our sins, and his word promises us that it will be forgiven. That a moment it doesn't matter who we are or what we've done, that we can come to an altar, lift our hands, and in a moment of honesty ask for forgiveness and ask him to fill us full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And it doesn't have to be justified. There doesn't have to be proof that for the next 15 years we're going to live for God. But that one moment, honest moment in time, that God stops everything and fills you full of his spirit. The scripture says that his mercies are new every day in Lamentations 3:22. It says it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. His love fails not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Romans 11 and 29 says, for the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. That there's something about it that if God has ever placed his anointing upon your life, that he's never going to repent of placing that anointing on your life. If he's ever called you to greatness, if he's ever put a calling on your life, there's never a moment in time that God reaches down and he strips that calling from you and says, it's no longer yours. I'm sorry, but I'm taking it away from you. I'm done with it. And you haven't proved yourself good enough, so I'm stripping my calling from you. I've watched people that have been backslid for years walk into the house of God and God restore them to their rightful place. I've watched them like a prodigal son as they come in from the streets after somebody that has turned their back on God and left. And God says, let me put a ring upon your finger. Let me put the clothes upon your back. Let me put sandals upon your feet. Let me restore you to the rightful place that I desire to use you for the glory of my kingdom. It's moments like this that give us hope. It's moments in scriptures like this that we can wake up every morning and say, today can be a new day. I can change. I can get deliverance. I can be better. I can do better than what I've been doing. I can find forgiveness. Moments in dark places in our lives when we're wondering if we're ever going to be making it, we can grasp hold of scriptures like this that say that his mercies are new every day. If I can just see the sun again, if I can just get past that 12 o'clock mark, if I can step into a new day, then I know that my mercies are on the way, that if I'll just but ask that. You see, you've got to understand that his mercy has to be acted upon. Just because his mercy is there doesn't mean that he's going to give it. It has to be acted upon. Just because he's willing to forgive doesn't mean that he's forgiven unless I come to him and ask him for forgiveness. It's easy. It's a simple process. It's something that is easy to do. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to pray big prayers. All you have to do is lift your hands and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. God, forgive me. God, I'm sorry for the mistakes that I've made. I'm sorry for the sins that I've committed. You don't have to be able to quote scripture to find mercy. You don't have to be able to prove to God that you're perfect to receive mercy. You don't have to live for God for 10 years to receive mercy. It is new every moment at the time that you but ask him for mercy. Amen. I think that sometimes because of how it is so easily accessed, all we have to do is act upon it. Sometimes we feel like we have time. Well, I can pray through next month. I can get right next year. I can quit this next time. I can change later. I can do something different later, Brother Donnie. I'm comfortable where I am. I'm happy with what's going on. I know that I'm not right, but his mercies are new every day. So 6 months from now, I can change this. I can go to an altar and I can receive forgiveness and I can find his mercy. Halley's Comet is one of the most famous comets in the world. It passes the Earth every 75 to 76 years. Most human beings will only have one opportunity to see Halley's Comet. It has been seen for years and years. It was first seen by the Chinese and the Babylonians, the medieval Europeans, as they clocked it and watched it cross the sky. They didn't understand what they were seeing or what it was until they began to realize the timing that it passed. It is something that only comes once in a while. If you're going to see it, you've got to be ready to see it. If you're going to experience it, you can't just sit back and wait and hope that you're going to experience it. You've got to be looking in the right direction. You've got to be focused in the right direction. You've got to have the right equipment to make sure that you can see it properly. It probably won't appear again until sometime in mid-2061. For most of us, we will not be able to experience Halley's Comet again. But for those of you that are still alive in 2061, if you're going to see Halley's Comet, you're going to have to be ready to see it, because it's only going to be there for a moment. You're going to have to act in that moment to see that experience. A few years ago, there was a complete lunar eclipse, and I've never sat and watched a complete lunar eclipse, and I didn't have to go to work the next day, and so I set a lawn chair in my backyard, and my wife was going to work, and I sat in that lawn chair all night long and watched that lunar eclipse. I'll never do it again, because that was the one and only lunar eclipse that I'm going to watch all night long. It was interesting to watch, though. It was just sit there and watch as the moon began to disappear, as it began to turn a deep red color, as it began to change and fade, because I knew that there weren't going to be that many opportunities in the rest of my life to just get and sit and watch a lunar eclipse. I might catch the end of one. I might catch the beginning of one, but just to be able to sit and watch the whole thing, I thought would be an interesting, and I enjoyed it. And it was that one moment in time. I can't watch a lunar eclipse tonight. I can't watch a lunar eclipse tomorrow night. I can't watch a lunar eclipse next year. It's something that happened at that moment in time that I had to take advantage of. Brother Ballestero pastored and preached all over California. He was driving through the desert one afternoon, and God began to deal with him about stopping. It began to deal with him about getting out of his car and preaching into the desert. If you ever gotten out of your car and just preached into the desert, that's probably an awkward thing to do. I've seen people talking to themselves walking down the road, but I don't think there's a whole lot of preaching going on. God kept dealing with him about pulling his car over and getting out and just preaching on the side of the road. And here he is out in the middle of the desert. There is nothing you can see for miles. And for 30 minutes he fought it. And finally, Brother Ballestero pulled over. He parked his car. He got out at a little ravine, and he stood over that ravine and he began to preach. He announced his name. He announced his sermon title. He announced the scripture and read from where he felt to preach that day. And for the next 15 minutes, Brother Ballestero preached into the desert all by himself. He got back into his car and he began to drive, and he made his way to the next revival where he was going. Never again did he ever experience anything like that. Never time before, never after that did he ever experience. 20 years later, he walks into a church in Riverside, California. He preaches a sermon. They have good church, and he's standing at the front talking to people, and a man walks up to him. He says, "You won't remember me, but I'll never be able to forget you." He said, "Why is that?" He said, "Do you remember a day when you stood on the roadside on such and such a highway and you preached into the desert?" He said, "Yes, I do." He said, "I was a bum that had been kicked off of a train out in the middle of nowhere. And just to find shade and safety, I crawled under a culvert next to that valley. You stood over the top of me as you preached for 15 minutes. You told me where the closest church was. And I came here, and I've been here ever since." See, you've got to understand that there are moments in time that are important. There are moments in time that needed to be acted upon. And there are moments in time that you have to take advantage of. There are moments in time when you've got to step out in faith. And there are moments in time that you need to say, "God, here I am. I need you to work and move in my life." Ecclesiastes talks about a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, and so on and so on. He specifically lets you know that there are perfect in places of time in our lives, that there's going to be moments and times that have to be acted upon. There are moments in time that you can't just let them slide by. His mercies are new every day. His mercies are new every day. Tomorrow I can walk in here tomorrow morning and I can throw my hands in the air and I can ask God for repentance. But you've got to understand that there are moments in time in your life that you've got to understand that I don't have all day. I don't have the rest of my life. It has to be acted upon right now. There's something that I've got to do. I can't wait till tomorrow because there's a promise that says that I might be able to find his grace. But I've got to act upon it. I've got to step out in faith and understand that there are moments in time that you can never get back. Jesus speaks of two different moments of time. One of them is the chronos in the Greek. It is a time governed by the clock. It is the quantity of time. There's another word, kairos, which means time measured by special moments. It's those special moments that you will never, ever be able to get back. You will never be able to touch again. It is those special moments that when they are gone, you are never going to have them again. That you can't just recreate them. You can't just go back to that place and hope that you can step back into what it was that was going on at that moment. You've got to understand that God sent Jonah to Nineveh at a specific time for a specific purpose. God sent Philip to the Ethiopian at a specific time for a specific purpose. God sent Paul to the Macedonians for a specific time and a specific purpose. You've got to understand that when Zacchaeus sat in that tree that day when Jesus walked by, that was his opportunity to act upon what it was that God was going to do in his life. When Jesus walked and said, I must go through Samaria, it was that one moment in time that that lady was going to have an encounter with Jesus Christ, the Almighty God. Oh, she might have found mercy. She might have found grace. But she'd have never had that experience with God. Quit waiting to think that next month or next year I'll have that experience. You've got to understand that there are some experiences that will pass you by that you will never, ever, ever be able to get back. Blind Bartimaeus had his moment of opportunity to step into his moment in time to receive his sight. The woman with the issue of blood that pushed through the crowd saying, if I could but touch the hem of his garment. You've got to understand that there are moments in time that are important in each and every one of our lives. But his mercies are new every day. But there are moments in time that you will never, ever get back. You've got to understand that I believe that because of his mercy is so bountiful and it is so wonderful, sometimes we just feel like that there are moments that we can catch in our future that we'll just catch up later. I don't know where my dreams are going, but I'll just catch up with them sometime. I don't know I'll just find it later. And it sets us in a lackadaisical mode as we just float through life because one day, Luke 19 and 41 says it like this, and it says, and when he was come near, this is Jesus, he held the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. But now they are hid from thine eyes. He said, you had an opportunity. There was so much blessing that I wanted to pour out on you, but they are hid from your eyes now. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee around and keep thee on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and the children within there. And they shall not leave in thee nor stone upon another. Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. That there was a moment in time that they could have grasped hold of something special that changed the rest of their lives. It could have changed their future and their children. But they refused to see the time of their visitation. There are moments in time that have to be taken advantage of. There are moments in time that we have to understand that God's trying to do something in our lives. The scripture says in Judges 14 and 3 in verse 4, it talks about how that Samson wanted to find this woman of the uncircumcised Philistines. He went and he told his parents about them and unto his father, and give her unto me, for she pleaseth me well. And then the scripture makes a weird statement. But his father and mother knew not that it was of the Lord for him to date a Philistine woman. And he sought, and this is what the Lord was trying to do, that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Samson was called to be anointed of God. He was called to be a judge of God. But we find Samson without a care in the world. Samson, we need you to be our leader. No, his mercies are new every day. Samson, we need you to do something supernatural in the kingdom. We need you to stand in the gap. No, right now I've just got a lot going on and I'm just kind of busy and things are going my way. And so I'm just going to wait a little while. I'm just going to wait till things are more comfortable or I change or I grow up or I get out of college or I decide to stop this way of life or whatever. And God set an occasion against the Philistines. He put this woman into Samson's life that he stripped her away from him. She was murdered and killed, and God was thinking that it would cause Samson to rise up and take his rightful place. God created a moment in time for Samson in the midst of this lackadaisical life that he'd created, that he was trying to put him in a place that catapulted him into his future. And he just walked right on by. Oh, he got mad for a little while, but he just went on dating more Philistine women. He just went on doing what Samson always did. God was trying to create a moment in time that would take Samson from where he was in the midst of everything that was just mediocre and push him into a place of greatness. But Samson wasn't interested in that moment. I've got time. I've got things that I need to do. I've got places that I want to go. I've got things that there are moments in time in my life that I will never be able to deny that they changed my life. One moment in time in Colombia, God touched me, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that it changed my world. It took me from the way I was and changed me. The moment that God called me to preach at a Because of a Time, sitting right there on the third row, that moment in time forever marked my life. The moment when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, sitting on the second row of the church there as Brother Lee Stone King was preaching. The moment as I stood in David Shatwell's trailer after their house burned down and he put his hands on me and God imparted something I'd never experienced into my life. Why? Because it's at moments and times that you've got to understand that God can directly orchestrate a divine encounter that can change your circumstances, that can change everything that is going on in your world, that can change the atmosphere of your world. But they've got to be acted upon. Tomorrow, next month, next year, next, we'll do it next. Oh, when we get to know you a little better, when things are going better, when we've got this going on, we've got that going on, then we'll step in and we'll do what it is that God's called us to do. But what you've got to understand that his mercies are new every day. But there are some things that can only be happened, that can only happen in moments, in times in your life. See, you've got to understand, there are moments and times in your life that it's like all the stars have aligned. For whatever reason, you're at a place in your life that it seems like you're closer to God than you are on a normal basis. It seems like there you're more sensitive to his presence. You can come to the house of God, and a month ago, it took you three songs to feel anything, but now it's like it's there. It's close. You can feel him. You think about him constantly throughout the day. You think about him as you drive down the road. You think about him on your job. It's like something has happened that's moved you into a place that has set you in motion that God could do something supernatural in your life. It's like the children of Israel as they walk by the promised land, and as they walk by, they see it again, and then they begin to take another round as they wander in the wilderness again. It's at that moment in time you come to a place that God says, I can take you from where you are, and I can change everything. I can take you from where you are, and this is more than just an encounter with my mercy and grace, but this is something at this moment in time that you're ready mentally, physically, emotionally, intentionally set into a place that I can take you from where you are and catapult you into your future. We'll just do it next year. We'll do it next month. His mercies are new every day. I've got time. Time is on my side. You've got to understand that there are things that God has called you to that time is of the essence. You've got to understand that there are things that God wants to do in your life that time is of the essence. You've got to understand there are ministries and callings and abilities and anointing that are in this church that time is of the essence. It's not just something that we can wander by and think that, well, we'll do it again next year, we'll do it at another time. His mercies are new every day. The Song of Solomon, as we read this morning, as they were awakened from their sleep, the voice of the beloved knocked and asked for them, as they reached for them, as they desired for them to open the door. And they had excuses. For I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on again? I woke up this morning and it was a little chilly outside. I've got me a purple. You can wear purple with anything around here. It matches every color. I got purple and gold going this morning. I got me a purple Columbia vest. And my wife walked in there, and I'm standing there in that vest, and she's laughing at me. She said, I wish I had time to take a picture of you because you look so dumb right now. But it was cold. It was chilly this morning. I get up and put a coat on. That was this person's excuse. How can I put a coat on? How can I put my jacket on today? How can I get back up? I'm comfortable. I've already washed my feet. If I get up, my feet will get dirty. These were the excuses for not answering the door. Excuses of, I'm too young. I'm too comfortable. I'm in a relationship. I've got education. I'm too busy. It's my past. It's all of my faults. It's the sin that's in my life. We have all kinds of excuses for why we refuse to answer God's callings on our lives. God is desperately knocking. He's saying, I've got something for you. I want to do something special in your life. I want to do something spectacular in you. I want to do something in your church and in your life and your family. And we I'm kind of busy right now. I'll catch you by next Sunday. I'll catch you next month. I'll catch you next year. I got things going on right now, so I'll catch you on another day. I'll catch you at another time. I'm pretty busy right now. I've got a lot of excuses. I've got a lot of things going on in my life. You see, one thing you've got to understand are that His mercies are new every day. The calling will still be there, and the gifts of God are without repentance. But the opportunity will be gone. You will still be called, but there will no place for you to do it. You will still have the anointing, but there will be no place because God will have to find somebody else. He's going to have revival with or without you. You'll still be anointed, you'll still be called, but He'll have to find somebody else to stand in your place to do what it is that He called you to do. You've got to understand that Paul writes and he makes a statement in 1 Corinthians 13 and 8 that sums it up. It says, charity never faileth. Love never fails. We sing the song, your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. That is so true as he says it here. Love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. He doesn't say they quit. He doesn't say that they go away. He doesn't say that they disappear. It doesn't say that he retracts them from you after he's given them to you. It says they shall fail. I believe that's why he wrote in 1 Timothy 1 and 18, he says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies." Only two places in the Bible the word prophecies is used, and in these two scriptures they are, is where they're used. "To the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." He's saying if you're going to get the promises of God that he's placed on your life, it's not going to be an accident, but it's going to be because you made up your mind that I'm going to war. I'm going to answer the call. I'm not going to allow that promise that God has placed on my life to fall before me, because I'm going to take hold of it. I'm going to use it. 1 Timothy 4 and 14 says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given to thee." Why? How? By prophecy, with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. What's he saying? He's saying there's prophecies on your life and you're neglecting them. Don't forget about them. There are promises that I've put upon you. There are prophecies that I've laid upon you, and you've got to understand that God never takes them away, but if we don't act upon them, they will fail. But he promised it to me, and he cannot lie. That's the truth. It's sitting out there and it's waiting on you. But the problem is we're not taking advantage of the moment that God is trying to take us from where we are and catapult us into our future and into our promises and into our prophecies. That because his mercies are new every day, I heard a story. They said, they asked Satan, "What is the greatest thing that you've ever done? Was it deceiving Eve? Was it was it pulling down and destroying Judas, a disciple?" And it's just a fictional story, but the comment was, "I've convinced the church that they have time." For his mercies are new every day. So we'll just wait till next week. We'll wait till next month. We'll wait till next year. We'll just keep walking in circles. We'll just keep doing what we've been doing. We'll just keep living the life that we've been living. And all the while, Jesus is saying, "You don't understand. I've brought you to this place for such a time as this. And if you'll answer, if you'll just answer the door, I'll do something awesome in your life." Revelations 3 and 20, and I'm closing. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." "If any man hears my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. And I am set down with my Father in his throne. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." I've been trying to preach this message for almost a month now, and God just keeps cutting it off and cutting it off and cutting it off and putting the brakes on it, putting the brakes on it, putting the brakes on it. And I believe that God allowed me to preach it today, that God is speaking into this place today, that there are people in this room that God has brought you to a divine place in your life for the purpose of your ministry, your call of God in this church, that God is wanting to do something supernatural, that there are things that are aligning in your life for whatever reason. You're at the place where you are right now, and God's saying, "If you'll just open, if you'll accept, if you'll just let me in, I'll take you from where you are, and I'll catapult you into a prophecy that you thought might have been gone. If you'll just open the door, if you'll just open it, I'll do something spectacular in your life. But I'm too busy. I've got too much going on. I've got too many plans. I've got too much happening at work. I've got too many things happening. My education, my schooling, my relationships, my family, my fun, my hobbies, all, I've got all of this stuff going on." And as that lady made all of the excuses, when she finally came to her senses and she opened the door, he was gone. His mercies are new every day. I'm not saying you're not going to find forgiveness. I'm not saying you're not going to get mercy. I'm not saying that you can't come and find Him tomorrow morning. I'm not saying the next month you can't come. But I am saying that there are moments and times in your life that have to be acted upon. That when God brings you to a place in your life that you have to understand, I can't just pass this by one more time. I can't just, who knows how long it's going to take for me to get to this place? Who knows how long it's going to take for God to align all of this? Who knows how long it's been since I've been feeling this way and having these urges to get close to God, desiring to be what He wants me to be, because I'm not normally like this. And God says, it's because I'm bringing you to a place where I can take you from where you are. See, some of you look down the road and you think you can never obtain what it is that God has called you to do. But what is so awesome about it, it's at those moments and times that God will pick you up from where you are. And that road that you thought you were going to have to walk and travel, He can change you in a moment's time. All the things that you thought you could never overcome, the things you never thought you'd be able to do, the confidence that you thought you would never have, God can take you from where you are and catapult you into your future. There's been moments and times in my life I walked into a room, a church service, an altar, one man. And because I answered, I left another. There's been moments and times I've walked into certain situations in my life, one person. I didn't understand the circumstances. I didn't understand the storm. I didn't understand why, but it brought me to a place that God took me from where I was and moved me into my future. The title of my sermon today, yes, you can find mercy every day, but the knocking will cease. Yes, you can come and God forgive you. But those moments and times where God wanted to take you and change you and shape you and mold you and give you something beautiful have passed on. Jonah, I've got something I need you to do, but I don't want to do it. You don't understand. I need you. Why not next month? Because the city's ready right now. Why not next year? Because the city's ready right now. Everything that I've done has brought Nineveh to a place where they are ready to change. And I've got to have you now. I've got to have you now. I've got to have you answer. I can't wait 6 more months. I can't wait another year. I can't wait 2 years. I need you to answer now. Oh, Jesus. Oh. God, I'm not satisfied with just having your mercies. I want your promises. I'm not satisfied with just being able to come to an altar and to get right. God, I want to be used of you. I'm not just satisfied with letting moments and time pass me by, God, but I want to answer the call to whatever you have for my life. As they begin to sing this morning, these altars are open. Is there anybody in this place that God has been dealing with you? For some reason, it just seems like it's more tender than it usually is. It's closer than it usually is. There's something that's tugging on my heart that's different than it usually is. There's something that's going on that God is trying to get my attention. The problem is eventually I still love you because my love never fails. But that promise I gave you, withholding nothing. You're not holding up your end of the deal. That prophecy that I laid upon your life, that I was going to use you for the glory of my kingdom. You're still called. But I got to find somebody else to do it. These altars are open this morning as we begin together as a church family. God, I want you to know, Jesus, I want to be used of you. God, I don't want to be satisfied just as somebody that comes through every once in a while. God, there's a hunger inside of me that desires to be used of you. There's something inside of me that longs for more than what I've got. It longs for more than what I'm doing. I've been called for a higher purpose. I've been anointed for such a time as this. Your hand has been placed upon my life for a reason.
Everything I give,
God, I've got to act upon it. I can't just be satisfied with another brush of angel's wings. I can't just be satisfied with another Sunday. I can't just be satisfied with getting into your presence one more time, God. But there's got to be a change in me. There's got to be a move in me, God. There's got to be something different, God, as I act upon what it is that you want to do. Maybe this is your first encounter with an almighty, awesome God like this. Maybe today's the day that God wants to fill you full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Maybe today's the day that you step out of obscurity into a promise that you thought was gone. Maybe today's the day that God places his glory upon you for the future of your house.
My Savior, forever.
God, as a church, we don't have time. We don't have time just to make another lap and wander the wilderness one more time, God, because you have called us for something great. We've got to answer the call, Jesus. We've got to answer the call. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. His mercies are new every day. And there are some folks that are satisfied with just everyday mercies. But I believe that there's some people in this church that are hungry for something more. They're hungry than just the daily routine that they've been going through. They're ready for something supernatural. They're ready for something real. They're ready for something that's different than what they've been experiencing. And God's going to do it. Amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I don't want you to think I'm not saying his mercies aren't new. No. I hold on to that scripture every day and every week. But you've also got to understand that you can't just float through life because they are new every day, man. You can't live without purpose because his mercies are new every day. There still has to be something inside that says, God, I want your promises for my life. For love never faileth. But he says prophecies will fail. I've got to be doing everything I can to meet that divine moment where his prophecy, that divine moment in time, meets me, that I'm doing everything that I can to get to that place that God wants for my life. And we've got to be doing the same thing as a church. We've got to be doing everything that we can to push for that mark and press for the high calling to get to that place when God drops revival in this city like crazy, that we're ready for it and we're ready to have and do what it is that God wants to do in this church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Said it before, it doesn't matter what the prophecy is on your life. If you go on break after you get it, you're never going to get it. You got to keep pushing. You got to keep driving. You got to keep praying. You got to keep pushing for what it is that God wants to do in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got prayer tonight. We're going to have a great time of praying around here. I'm excited about prayer meeting tonight. Also, we've got prayer meeting tomorrow morning and Tuesday morning for the ladies. Hallelujah. We serve a great God, don't we? Jesus is in this place. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. Y'all have a wonderful, wonderful afternoon. I know some of y'all aren't going to watch football, but